Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you, and we're glad that you've come out to be with us this morning. Continuing on in our sermon series about life-changing choices. Life-changing choices. The last few weeks, we've had kind of this reoccurring theme of there I was, and then it happened. And then last Sunday morning, we talked about then it happened, and there I was. This morning, we're going to talk about now what? Now what? The dust has settled, the events have happened, and in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to see the events that begin to take place in the life of David in the now what. You know, a lot of times we think that we're slick, don't we? We think we're slick. We think we get by with things and nobody else notices or nobody else sees. And maybe nobody else does. But as I mentioned to you last Sunday, the one person who always knows is the one who always matters the most. And that's God. God always knows. He knows everything about us, the number of hairs on our heads. He knows our personality. He knows the way we think. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows our deeds. He knows our secrets. The things about us that nobody else could possibly know besides us, God knows. He knows about it. And God knew about the events that took place here in the life of David. You know, it was no secret to God. And there were very few others that knew, but God knew about the adultery. God knew about the murder. God knew about the covetous heart that David had. And we're going to see what God's response to that is, because even though we think that we've gotten away or we've been slick, we've got to understand that the one who always knows, the one who matters the most, is always going to have something to say about it or something for us to have to feel the consequences or repercussions thereof. And that's what we're going to look at today. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to start reading in verse 1. But if you find your place in the reading of the Word of God, stand with me, please. 2 Samuel chapter 12. I don't have a sermon outline for you this morning, so if you've got an old outline or some notes there, you can just pencil in and take notes as we go along today. 2 Samuel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. The Word of God says it this way. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. He came to him and says to him, there were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And when he brought it up, and he grew it up with him and with his children, it was used to eat of his morsels and to drink of his cup and to lie in his arms. And it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or the herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he says to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Nathan says to David, you are the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and delivered you out of the hands of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives and into your arms and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would have added to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, and before the Son. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank You for today. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity that You've given us to come and to be here in Your house, Lord, to fellowship one with another. And Lord, I pray that today You take this message as we learn about the now what. Lord, we see in the life of David, he has sinned, he has fallen short. And now, Lord, he's tried to justify in his heart and his life, his deeds and his actions. But Lord, You come forth and through the direction of Your Spirit, Lord, You begin to set in action a course of events that are forever going to change David's life, the consequences of his sin. Lord, I pray that today, if there's anybody here beneath the sound of my voice, Lord, who's in a time of suffering, Lord, in a season where that sin is just consuming their life, then Lord, I pray that as they go into the now what, that Lord, Father, You will speak boldly unto their heart, Lord, because help us to know and understand that because when You speak to us, it's because You care. Lord, You desire to correct us. You desire to bring us back because of Your love for us. Father God, I just pray that if there's that individual here, that before this service would even be over, Lord, the heart and the burden of repentance would just be upon them. That, Lord, they would come and respond today and be ready to give their heart and their life back over to You. Lord, maybe here today there's somebody who's never known You in the free pardon of sin. Lord, somebody who's never been saved. Well, then, Lord, I pray likewise today before it's everlasting too late that they would come and they would give their heart and their life to You and they would say, Lord, here am I. Father, I pray for the life of our church. Lord, I pray that You grow us into the body of believers that You would have us to be. Lord, I pray for myself. Lord, maybe selfishly is so, but Lord, I pray that You would just every day, Lord, speak and dwell within my life, Lord, that You would make me the pastor and the man of God that You would have me to be, to lead this body of believers, Lord, as You would see fit and according to Your own holy, perfect will. Lord, I thank You and I'm blessed that You've brought me to this place. And Lord, I pray that You just use me mightily. Lord, I pray that You give within all of us a spirit of unity that we might come together with a heart's desire to do Your work and to do Your will. So, Father, Lord, we just give it all to You. We place it at the foot of the cross this morning. And it's in Your holy, precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Amen. Who would like to hear a There I Was story? Ah, it's John in the back. He's always quick. He likes to hear those There I Was stories. Saturday nights are getting interesting and interesting, and more interesting in Lexington. And last night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting at the intersection of 4th and North Upper Street. And the radio cracks and says that there has been a pedestrian hit at 6th and Upper. And the vehicle that was used in that accident was used in a shooting earlier that day. And they are traveling in my direction. So I said, there I was. I was at 4th and Upper. And I sat there for a long time waiting on this vehicle to come. Black vehicle, one headlight. And I sat there and I waited through the light to cycle through several times. Nobody. So I said, he must have already gone or he's turned off on a side street. So my light cycled through green and I pulled through the light. And as I get through the intersection, I see this one headlight. And the only problem is it's not stopping. So as I barely make it through the intersection, he almost hits me, almost T-bones me at the intersection of 4th and Upper. So he blew through that light, and I put the vehicle in reverse, got back onto Upper Street, and I began and initiated pursuit with him. And he blew through the light at 3rd and Upper, went on through there, nearly hitting two vehicles. And then he turned onto Mechanic Street, where another unit that I work with was able to block him in. We blocked him in for a short time, and then he was able to maneuver around that vehicle and turned onto Market Street. The only problem was he turned left rather than right and began traveling wrong way down Market Street. And if anybody's ever been on Market Street, it is a one-lane street with vehicles that park on both sides of the road. And of course, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's intoxicated people everywhere that are trying to walk back to where they belong, and he's nearly hitting pedestrians as we go left and right all the way down to 2nd Street. We turned, fortunately, the correct way onto 2nd Street, and we reached speeds of about 80 and 90 miles an hour going down 2nd Street to where we traveled through all the way to Newtown Pike. Does everybody know where we're at? All right, if you don't, just follow along with the story. As we go down 2nd Street, occasionally, ever so often, he likes to slam on the brakes and lock up the vehicle, so I will rear into him. And I'm, of course, fortunate that I'm not that close to him. But when we get to 2nd and Newtown, he locks it up for about a stretch of 250 feet And I almost, you can't get any closer than almost, folks. I almost ran into the back of him. But he stopped there for a minute, and I thought he was going to quit, and that was going to be the end of it. But no, he continues on. So we got on the Newtown Pike, and we're going back now down back into downtown Lexington. And everybody knows where Limestone and Main Street is, right? Where they're doing all that new construction stuff in downtown Lexington. Well, that's where we ended up at. So he's stuck in a lane next to construction. There's vehicles on the right. I'm behind him, and there's a vehicle in front of him at a red light, so he can't go anywheres. So we stop. Then the light turns green, but it doesn't go anywheres. I wait a second. Lexington Metro is still nowheres to be seen in the middle of all this pursuit. It was their call. No backup. Myself and another trans unit. The whole pursuit. And we get there, and we're waiting, and he just stopped. So I get out of the car, and I go up, and he is passed out, slick as a ribbon. He is out. And it was good for him. And I'm not going to explain to you why it was good for him. You can probably put the pieces of the puzzle together. But to his benefit, he was slick out. As we finally get into the car and get him out and get him into custody, that was my night. So I'm a little bit geared up this morning. I couldn't even go home and sleep this morning. I kept replaying this visual of this pursuit all through my mind as I'm trying to sleep. So I'm geared up. But that's my there I was story. And then it happened. There I was. And then it happened. In the life of David, we learned about there he was, and then it happened. Then it happened, and there he was. But now what? Now what? David, in his mind, thinks that he has gone through this great ordeal, that he's justified everything that he's done. He's removed Uriah the Hittite. Nobody else knows about it, other than maybe a few of the servants in the house, but nobody really knows. But the one person who mattered the most knew about it, and that was God. And God cared about David. You know, God loved David just like He loves you and just like He loves me. And do you not believe in your heart that it burdened David to know that he sinned and done this sin? I believe with all my heart that David really was burdened. I believe that David did have a conviction on his heart. I believe that David did know that he had done wrong. But David went about things the entirely wrong way. And now he's going to have to suffer the consequences because God, who also loves David, is all about bringing him back into the fold. This man after God's own heart, God loved him enough that he cared to send somebody unto David. He sent this man named Nathan unto him. Look at literally what the Scripture says. And it says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." The Lord sent Nathan unto David. The first thing I want you to see about this message is we're going to talk about the voice of God. We're going to talk about the voice of God, and the first voice of God that we see is this voice of reliance. God is that voice of reliance. God is that voice that is always there. God is that voice that is ever present. Now, there's something a little bit different in the Old Testament versus the New Testament today. In the New Testament world, you and I, when we invite Christ into our heart, God sends us the what? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to us, and as Jesus said, "I will send you a comforter." So God sends us the Holy Spirit to be a comforter, to lead us, to guide us, direct us, to teach us, all of those things. In the Old Testament, the Spirit worked a little differently. The Spirit would come and the Spirit would go. As a matter of fact, there were many times before when David would pray to God, "You know, God, don't take from me the Spirit like you took it from Saul." God took the Spirit from Saul, and Saul basically, you know, began to fall to pieces, and God had to bring about a change, and that's how David became the king. But David would pray unto God, "God, don't take the Spirit from me." But we hear this voice of God that is a voice of reliance. God sent Nathan to speak to David. Anybody ever speak to God? Man, I wish everybody's hands would go up in here. Anybody ever speak to God? Anybody ever hear the voice of God? Amen. You know, the voice of God comes to us in a lot of different ways. You know, sometimes the voice of God comes to us and we know it's the voice of God. We hear it. I mean, undoubtedly, when we pray, He responds. When we cry out, He's listening, He hears, and He responds. But there's other times where God sends us a voice, His voice, through the means of other people. You know, sometimes God sends His voice through teachers and preachers. In the Old Testament, like we have here with Nathan, He sent His voice through prophets, or oftentimes the ministers of God of that day. And that's what God did here for David. A voice of reliance sent through a prophet, sent through this man, Nathan. Nathan had a burden on his heart, and you can imagine the situation that Nathan was in. Nathan is going to speak to a man after God's own heart, the king of Israel, the king of Judah, who could ultimately put him to death, a man that he knows has already put somebody else to death because he was going to find out about his sin and about the things that he had done in his life. So imagine the situation of Nathan. But God came to Nathan and He spoke to him and He says, "Go and speak to David." And you tell him this story, you tell him this parable, and help him to see and understand that this is his life. And Nathan was obedient. Nathan went and did exactly as God told him to do. But Nathan went because God sent him. You know, I think that all too often we're neglecting in listening to the voice of God. You know, sometimes God speaks to us loudly, plainly, and boldly, but we fail to listen. We choose not to hear. Oftentimes because of sin in our life. Oftentimes because we choose to ignore it. Oftentimes because we feel that what God's will and what God's purpose for us is just doesn't factor into our life, so we ignore it. You know, at other times, God sends individuals to speak to us, just like God sent Nathan. You know, in the course of my life, I can think about several different men and women whom that undoubtedly God placed in my life to give me instruction and to give me guidance at the times when I needed it most. Thankfully now, God has sent His voice through my wife. She is the voice that speaks the loudest in my world these days. God speaks to my wife to speak to me, and I know that. And there's times that I don't want to say that she's right, and there's times that I want to think, you know, she's just being silly. But I know beyond a doubt that there are moments and times when God speaks very clearly to me from my wife. I don't doubt that. And you know, I believe that a healthy marriage should be that way. I believe that as spouses, God should use each to the other to help guide the other to be better in their marriage, to be better in their home life, to be better in Christ. Amen? Amen. And if you're married, husbands, don't forget that your wife may be the voice of God. Ladies, do not forget that your husband could well be the voice of God. So don't dismiss what the other says as they give you words of encouragement. Don't dismiss what the other says as they give you words of guidance. Why? Because God's voice is a voice of reliance. God's word, God's voice is always true and it's always right. Amen? Man, God's voice is the voice of reliance. And what Nathan was saying unto David, David could take it to the bank because it's the Word of God. And maybe I'm just old-fashioned in the way that I feel and the way that I believe, but I believe that the Word of God is something that will stand when the world is on fire. You know, I believe when God speaks and when God says, He means it, and I believe it to be the truth. You know, if God speaks to us, and we really believe that God's Word is truth and it's light and it's all of these things, why would we choose to ignore it? Why would we choose to fail in following His Word? But why does God send His voice? Why does God send that voice of reliance? As I mentioned it earlier, probably the greatest reason that God sends His voice of reliance is because He loves us. Because He loves us. You know, I ask you jokingly if you hear the voice of God. I hope that you do. Because in your Christian walk, if you ever get to the point where God just doesn't speak to you anymore, you should be afraid. You should be afraid. For 400 years, the people of God never heard a word from Him. From the book of Malachi to the coming of Jesus to the time when Simeon heard from God, God had not said a word. Nothing. He was silent. God hadn't said anything. Could you imagine how the people of God felt? The people who relied upon His words the most. This God whose voice was about reliance, they didn't hear it anymore. They had no direction. They had no leadership. Imagine how they felt. And in today's world, if God was to suddenly stop speaking to us, my greatest fear is this, is would we as the church and would we as God's people even realize it? Because in today's world, we do things the way we want to do things. We enact upon things the way that we want to enact upon them. Would you really truly notice if the voice of God, that voice of reliance, just ceased? If it just stopped? I don't know. That's a question that only you can answer. But maybe you're here today and that voice of God, that voice of reliance is speaking to you. Speaking to you so boldly and so plainly. Maybe it's a voice that is convicting you of where you're at. Convicting you of your sin. Convicting you of what you're doing. Convicting you of your failure to follow. Convicting you for your lack of work. Convicting you for your lack of commitment. Maybe you're hearing God speaking to your voice and He is encouraging you to serve. God is sending you a spirit of motivation. God is sending you a spirit with a desire to become dedicated to serving Him. You know, maybe God is sending you His voice and telling you you're right where you need to be. Be still. Be still and do what I'm calling you to do. Whatever God's voice is saying to you today, are you responding to it? You know, that's the key thing, is when God speaks, are you listening? And as you're listening, are you going to make the conscious decision to do what God is telling you to do? God speaks to you. He speaks to me. He speaks to this church because He loves us, because He cares about us. I don't know about you, but there's no more humbling of a thing to know that I serve a God who loves me so much that He cares about my individual, personal relationship with Him. When I get out of the will of God, God cares enough about me that He's going to send somebody or send His voice to me to convict me and bring me back to where I need to be. God loved David so much that He sent Nathan to come and to speak to him that he might see and realize how he was outside of the will of God. You know, conviction. People oftentimes look at conviction and the voice of God in a convicting manner as something that is so terrible and so wrong. And people don't want to come to church where they hear messages that convict them anymore. People don't want to come to church where they hear a message about how that you sinned and you need repentance. Why? Because it makes people feel bad. Because it doesn't make people happy. Because people don't want to come to church and leave with this feeling of, oh my goodness, I need to correct things in my life. That's the whole purpose of church. That's the whole purpose of having a relationship with God. It's that you become better in your following and in your relationship with Him. And how are we going to know unless He speaks? How are we going to know unless men will stand up and prophesy in His name? How will we know unless others will stand up and preach and teach and share? How will we know unless God sends influences into our life, whether it be our spouse or our friends or a pastor or a brother or a sister in Christ who will help us be accountable for our actions and deeds? How do we know? God's voice is a voice of reliance. We can count on it. Why? Because He loves us. But are you following God's voice? Are you following God's direction? If God stopped speaking, would you know that God stopped speaking? Would you care? If you're to that point and you're in that place where you just don't care or God doesn't speak, be afraid. You know, I don't say that in messages very often, but I do say this. If you don't hear the voice of God, be afraid. Not only is God's voice a voice of reliance, but here in this Scripture we also see that God has a voice of reason. God has a voice of reason. He sent Nathan unto David, and as Nathan began to speak to David, he shared with him this parable. He shared a parable of a rich man, a ruler, and he shared a parable about this poor man. The poor man had but one ewe lamb. The rich man had many. And as a visitor came to meet with this rich man, and it was customary during the day, if you had a visitor in your home, you would take from your own flock and you would prepare a meal for that visitor, especially if they were an honored guest. So this rich man breaks custom, tradition, and law, and he takes, rather than from his own flock, he takes from this poor man the one ewe lamb that he has. The one. The one that they become so attached with, the family loves it, the kids love it. It eats from their plate, it drinks from their cup. It is essentially a part of their family, is what the Scripture is trying to get at here. And the rich man takes this ewe lamb, and he slaughters it, and he prepares it for the visitor. And what happens in this story? It says that David becomes infuriated. He becomes angry. Rightfully so, amen. You know, my goodness, who would take from a poor man the one ewe lamb that he has when this rich man has hundreds, undoubtedly hundreds, in his flocks? Well, David becomes righteously angry. God sent a voice of reason. You know, there's a lot of times, as God begins to convict us of our sins, we don't believe that God's being reasonable, or we try, as we learned with David last week, we try to justify our actions and deeds, do we not? We try to justify why we've sinned. Well, I've sinned because of A, B, and C. Or in David's case, he was able to remove Uriah from the picture and was able to take Bathsheba unto his own house and make her his wife. Thus, basically, it would be okay then in his eye that he had fathered this child by her. But God viewed it differently. Why? Because God is God. Because God is perfect. Because God knows no sin. And there's times in our life where we need the voice of God to be a voice of reason. Where we just need God to come in and to reason with our hearts and to reason with our life and just to point out and to show to us what our sin really is and why we are wrong. Now, I know that this is probably hard for you to believe, but from time to time, I'm wrong. I know. Mind-blowing, isn't it? I'm wrong. Christy Johnson, are you ever wrong about anything? Of course not. She's shaking her head no. Well, God's going to send that voice of reason to you later, Christy. He's going to talk to you. This voice of reason. God sent this voice of reason that was so relevant and was so reliant through Nathan. Nathan came and he told this parable. And David didn't even see and realize how that this parable of covetousness and of sinful actions and deeds related directly to him. What's so bad about not hearing the voice of God? When we fail to hear the voice of God, we fail to hear His reliance. We fail to hear His love. We fail to hear His direction. But more than that, we also fail to hear His reason. When God speaks to us, God speaks with a voice of reason. When God speaks to us, He speaks with a voice that is perfect. Meaning that when God speaks, He's never going to give direction, leadership, advice, anything that isn't perfect. God is never going to point you in the wrong path. He's never going to send you in the wrong direction. He's never going to convict you of something you don't need to be convicted of. God is perfect. And I believe every word that He says. So we can rely upon it as it presents its reason. And here David is beginning to see his reason as Nathan says, David, you are the man. You are the man. You have committed but this very sin, and you've taken from Uriah his only wife when you have many. When you have many, and then you've killed him. You've brought the swords of the Ammonites upon him, and you have taken his life. God spoke to David with reason. You see, David in his own mind, he tried to justify. But God comes and He speaks in a tone of reason. Why do we need reason in our lives? Anybody know why we need reason within our lives? Because as adults, we're basically just grown-up children. All right? Why do your children need reason in their lives? Let's talk about that, parents. Why do your children need reason? Because they would only ever eat cookies if you would let them, right? I mean, they would only ever eat cookies. They would stay up all night. They would never brush their teeth. They would take baths, but rarely. They wouldn't use deodorant. My goodness, I mean, the list is a mile long about why you have to be a voice of reason for your children. Amen? As parents, you have to be a voice of reason. You know, and talk with them about why they need to take that shower. You know, why they need to brush those teeth. Why you can't have cookies for every meal. That voice of reason. As adults, sometimes we just need God's voice of reason. Why? Because as human beings, we will do anything and everything that we think we can possibly get away with. Anybody agree? Is there anybody who disagrees? Is there anybody who has ever not done something, just because you knew that you couldn't get away with it? In criminology, psychologists say that the vast majority of the reasons that people choose not to be a criminal is because they know that they can't get away with it. Now, there's some people in this world who still think they can get away with it. Trust me, I know. I deal with a great part of that society. But for the vast majority of people who choose not to live a criminal lifestyle, they choose not to because they know that they can't get away with it. I believe wholeheartedly that criminal elements would be greater than they are if there were more people who thought they could get away with it. Let me ask you this. Have you ever done something solely because you knew you could get away with it? Anybody? I do all the time. Speeding is a prime element. I pretty much speed everywhere that I go. Why? Because I pretty well know that I can get out of it. That I'm not going to get a ticket. It's a motivating factor for me, just to be honest. But we all do things from time to time because we think we can get away with it. Or we think we can justify it. That's a whole other element of society, is it not? Is the groups of people who do things because they justify it. In their mind, they make themselves believe and think and convince themselves and even try to convince others that I did this because of A, B, and C, and A, B, and C makes it right. We need a voice of reason from God. And that's what God did to David. He sent a voice of reason and a voice of reliance through Nathan. But that's not the only voice of God. This third voice of God that I want to talk about before we close and as we get ready to close quickly is this. We hear God's voice of reality. God sends a voice of reliance. It's always true. It's always faithful. God sends a voice of reason where He points out to us, David, this is where you've sinned. This is where you've done wrong. But He also sends this voice of reality, where He smacks us in the face sometimes and says, this is how it really is, and this is the way that it's really going to be. And that's what we see here with David. You know, in verse 7 he says, and Nathan says to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you the king of Israel, and I delivered you out of the hands of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives and into thy bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given to you unto such things as you should have. He says basically, I have given you everything. Not only does he reason with David, but he points out the reality. He points out things as they are. I have given you everything, David. Everything that you could want. I made you king. I made you a victor over your enemies. I gave you your enemies' wives. I gave you his house. I gave you Israel. I gave you Judah. And if that would not have been enough, I would have given you more. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5. I want to share this verse with you. You've seen this verse before in a previous message, but I always think it's so poignant to what we're talking about. Thus saith the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? What wrong did your fathers find in me? That's the voice of God speaking unto His people. What wrong did you find in me that you left me and that you went after worthlessness and you became worthless? And as you can maybe recall from the rest of that chapter, they turned unto Baal. They worshiped the god of Baal. What have I done, God says? God says, I have given you all of this. And if you continue on in Jeremiah chapter 2, literally just like He did with David, Jeremiah speaks to the people, I led you up out of Israel. I gave you manna through the desert. I led you to the promised land. I made you a place in the promised land. I gave you all of these things. What fault did you find in me that you turned your heart from me and turned to Baal? God asked David, He points out the reality, I give you everything. What have I done that you sin against me? In the Garden of Eden, God gave man everything. And man walked with God and God with man. And the relationship was as perfect as it had ever been. And I believe God had to but ask, I give you all of these things and you choose to do the one thing that I tell you not to do. Why? God's voice of reality points things out exactly as they are and not as we perceive them. Amen and amen to that. God points things out for the reality that it is. David, I gave you everything. I gave you your house. I gave you a great victory over your enemies. I made you king. Why do you turn from me? The Lord says, what wrong do you find in me that you turn away from me and turn unto Baal? What did I not do for you that you, Adam and Eve, had to turn to sin? I ask you the same thing today. Look at the voice of reality. What has God done for you? Look at what God has given you. Look at your home. Look at your family. Look at your marriage. Look at your church. Look at your relationship with Him. What has God done for you? And why do you choose to stray from Him? Why do you choose to sin? Even though God has done all of this, He said to David, if it was too little, I would have given you more. He speaks the truth. Amen. If it was too little, I would have given you more. What about you? You listen to God's voice of reality? You listen to His voice of reason? Do you listen to His voice of reliance? When God speaks, it's the truth. If God is speaking to your heart today, as our praise and worship team comes, as God is speaking to your heart today, if you know there's that unconfessed sin in your life, and you know it, God has already reasoned in your heart, there's no doubt about it. I know that God is already reasoning in your heart. I know through this sermon series, God has been speaking to people's hearts. Reasoning in your heart, and you're facing reality, would you not come and respond? Next week, we're going to learn all about the real reality that David faced in the consequence. Now what? The sin is there, it's present in your life, now what? Come and repent, come and confess, give your heart and your life back over to Him. Or maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You've never known Jesus and the free pardon of sin. Your reality is this, is you have nothing. You have nothing. But through Him, you can have everything. Father God, Lord, we thank You for today. Lord, Your blessings, Your mercy, Your grace. Lord, I thank You for Your words of truth. Lord, I thank You for Your voice. Lord, I'm thankful that You come and that You speak to my heart. Lord, I know when I'm wrong and I know when I sin and I know when I fail, Lord, I can rely on Your voice to come and provide me with reason. And Lord, sometimes You just have to give me the reality. And Lord, sometimes I forget everything that You've blessed me with, Lord. Lord, You've blessed me with an opportunity to come back and to pastor a church once again. Lord, You've blessed me with an opportunity to come and be a preacher again, Lord. And Father God, sometimes we just need to remember the reality of what You've given us. How blessed that we truly are. Lord, I pray, Father, that if there are those here today who have burdened hearts, Lord, burdened for and convicted, Lord, to come and confess of their sins, that, Lord, they will come and they will surrender their heart this morning. Lord, I but pray that we will see a response to Your Word and that it will not return void. It's in Your name and in all these things we pray and ask. Amen.